Shanti, good afternoon. A very warm welcome to you, Dr. Sachin, that you are with us. Sachin, sorry, I always say it wrong. Dr. Sachin came to Baba in 2003. Baba found him and he found Baba after a lifelong search for truth and for God. And his speciality is, I think, he's master of the art of churning, deep churning on all kind of subjects. And every morning after Amrit Vela, he has a group of intense effort makers with whom he dives deeply into the knowledge of Baba. And today we ask him to speak about subtle realizations, because in the Murli from 18 January, Baba was speaking to the double foreigners about you must have subtle realizations, and lots of us will think, what is that? So we hope to hear today a little bit more of it. Thank you.
Om Shanti. A mother and a child were walking by the side of a shore, seashore. And a great wave comes, and after that, mother finds that child, her child, does not have one of his shoes. The wave came and took away one of the pairs of shoes, and then that mother writes on the shore with her finger that the ocean is thief. On the other side of the ocean, far away, there's a fisherman, and he catches a lot of fish that day. And he writes on the shore with his finger that the ocean is the great sustainer. Again, on this side of the ocean, a man gets drowned in the ocean. His mother writes on the sand, the ocean is the murderer. On the other side of the ocean, there's an old man, a poor fellow, a helpless person, walking with much difficulty by the side of the shore, and suddenly he finds a shell, and that shell has a very valuable pearl, and that man gets so happy and he rides on the shore that the ocean is the great donor. After some time, on both sides, waves come, the greater waves, and everything that is written on the sand is washed away, and nothing remains. The ocean has nothing to do with what you write. The ocean is immovable. The ocean is unshakable. It doesn't move by your dictates. It has no effect on what others are writing. On one side, somebody is praising, on another side, somebody is abusing, blaming. But ocean is unflinching. Ocean is unshakable. This is one of the beautiful qualities of the ocean. You may write anything on the shore, but it doesn't care. It is stable in its own majestic glory. It doesn't feed on your appreciation and acknowledgement. It knows its own value, and it is stabilized, situated in that value. can we reach such a stage of the mind, such oceanic stage of the mind, where we remain stable. In terms of psychology, it's known as mental filtering. Filtering every thought. See that whatever is happening on the surface, see that whatever is happening in the world does not influence me, affect me. I remain stable in that stage of equipoise, in that stage of equanimity, unaffected, undisturbed by anything which is happening. I don't allow my thoughts to get perturbed, disturbed by any external happening. I filter everything. Whatever that is entering from outside, I filter it. See whether it is useful to me. If yes, then only I allow. Otherwise, I don't allow. Because 100 things will happen on the surface. The atmosphere would be disturbing. But that doesn't mean that I get influenced every time. I get affected every time. Any Tom, Dick and Harry comes and says something to me and I get disturbed. And I keep on thinking about it the whole night, the whole day. And my stage is lost or stolen. Here I have to come to realization that I have to become like the ocean. I have to achieve that oceanic tranquility, that oceanic peace, which though there is a turbulence on the surface, inside deep it's calm and quiet. So in recent Murli, whilst talking with double foreigners, Baba said, you all have to be number one, but you have to increase your level of realization. And realization is a very subtle thing, very subtle process. There are multiple Murlis, Avyakta Murlis, which are on power of transformation, where Baba said, your power of transformation depends upon your power of realization. How deep is the realization? Then only the transformation takes place. Otherwise, no matter what you are doing, transformation doesn't take place. A thief is there and he has been stealing from long time. And he knows that it is wrong to steal. And yet he cannot change. And suddenly then something happens. And he is forced to change. In Indian literature, there is a great epic book, Ramayana. You must have heard of it. In Murli, it comes. The author of Ramayana is Valmiki, a great sage. But earlier, he was a robber. A worst kind of robber. He used to kill people. And once, he meets a sage, Narad. And he had interaction with that sage. The sage asks him, why are you stealing? Why are you robbing people? Why are you killing people? He says, I am doing it all for my family. Okay. So that sage tells him, just go and ask your family member, will they take a share of your sin? So he goes home and asks his wife, will be your partner? Will you be a partner in my sin? She says, why? I don't know what you do. I have no business with you. How can I be a sin in, partner in your sin? You are committing whatever you are doing. I am not doing. So he's disheartened. Then he goes to his father. Again the same reply. All the family members say that this is your act, your action, your deed. We have nothing to do with this. And that was an arrow that goes within his heart. And he comes back and he decides that everybody is selfish here and what I am doing. I was thinking that I am doing everything for my family. But they are not ready to share any of my sins or actions, the result of my action. So this is all useless affair. And he says, he falls down in front of his that sage and says, now you tell me what I should do. That sage tells him, go and now chant the name of Ram, Ram, Ram. And he even doesn't know how to chant. He chants it different manner. Mara, mara, mara. Inverted, reverse. And he sits in meditation for a long time. And when he gets up after, as is shown, thousands of years, he becomes a sage. So how this transformation happened? It happened because of that deep realization that this world is a selfish world. None of my family member is mine. Everybody is doing everything for his own sake, her own sake. Nobody is nobody's. Vanity of vanity. All is vanity. All is just a show business. Nothing else. When that disinterest arises in his heart, he develops detachment from everything. So that was a transformation that happened. So the power of transformation depends upon the power of realization. How deep is the realization? And when that realization comes, everything changes. Our perspective, our attitude, our viewpoint, the way we see things, everything changes. But this realization is not so cheap. It's a costly affair. You have to pay for it. Old lady, in her 80s and 90s, just stands in front of the mirror, and to her utter surprise, she finds that she has only 3 hair left on the hair, on her head. Only 3. And what she does? She says, let me do some hairstyle with those 3 hair. And she braids it. And she is happy the whole day. After a week's time, she again happens to look into the mirror and she finds that there are only 2 hair now. So she thinks, what I should do? Let me go for central parting hairstyle. Half hair on this side, half on this side. So 1 hair on this side and 1 hair on this side. This is known as half central parting hairstyle. And again she is happy the whole day. She is happy. After a week's time, she finds there is only 1 hair left. So she says, what I should do with this hair? And she said, let me go for ponytail hairstyle. And again she is happy for the whole day. After a week's time, she sees that she is bald. And she is overjoyed. Oh, now there is no more hassle and wasting time in making hair. It's a very short story, but very powerful. First, in yesterday's Murli Baba said, see into the mirror. What is your face? Seeing into the mirror. Second, making some changes, some modification. Third, the result is happiness. Whatever she did, even where there was 3 hair, she did something with those hair and she was happy. When there were 2, she did something with the 2 and she was happy. When there was only 1, she was happy. And there were no, still she was happy. A deeper realization that happiness is not in anything which is outside. Happiness is the state of the mind. External things, persons, situations have nothing to do with my happiness. So this realization that I am responsible for my own happiness. No one in this world can give me happiness. My happiness is within me. I have to search it within me. I have to explore my own self. It is hidden there. I don't have to borrow or steal happiness from somewhere. I am the source of all happiness in the world. Come to this realization. Also, in the recent Murli in 18 January, Baba said, You have to become the embodiment of solutions, not problems. Baba said, celebrate this year as a year of freedom, as a year of liberty. Free yourself from all the problems, free yourself from all the excuses. Baba doesn't like the language of excuses. Coming to this realization. So every day, there should be a new realization. Every day should bring me something new. And for this realization, you need three very important things. First, deep silence. Second, solitude. And third, introversion. Without these three things, there cannot be any realization. Realization cannot take place in the crowd and the din and clamor of the world. You have to withdraw yourself in that inner recess where you sit in silence all alone, only in the presence of the Supreme, as if totally detached from the world. Lost in His love. Just now, you were listening to one Hindi song. And it was a very beautiful song. The song was describing how love is. Pyar koi bol nahi. Word, love is not about words. Pyar awaz nahi. Love is not sound. Ek khamoshi hai, it's a silence. Sunti hai, kaha karti hai. This is the silence that speaks, that hears. Love is that soundless sound. Ye na bujhti hai na rukti hai. This doesn't get extinguished. This doesn't stop. Na thehri hai kahi. It never stops. It is unstoppable, going on. It is like noor ki boond hai. It is like the drop of light. Sadiyo se baha karti hai. It is flowing from ages together. It's that point of light, love. It is ehsaas. It is a realization. Sirf ehsaas. Don't touch this. Love. And don't give it the name of any relationship. Haath se chhu ke ise rishto ka naam na do. Ilzam na do. Don't give it the name of any relation. Let it remain love only. A pure love. Come to this realization. Rooh se mehsoos karo. Feel this love with soul. It has nothing to do with body. Love is bodiless. प्यार को प्यार ही रहने दो. Let the love remain love. कोई नाम ना दो. Let it remain nameless. Don't give any name to it. And flow in that love. And swing in that love. And dance in that love. And get lost in that love. If somebody asks, what is this? You are unspeakable. You can't describe it. It is indescribable feeling of getting lost in love of Baba. Deep love. Coming to this realization that I am lost in His love. In Sunday's Murli morning, Baba said, Baba is seeing two type of children. One are those who are lovely and second are those who are loveleen. Loveleen means those who are lost in love. Loveleen is a neologism, new word Baba, coined by Baba, which is not found in Hindi or English dictionary. He has taken one Hindi word and one English word. Love and lean means to be lost. And he created a new word, love lean. He is the master of literature, you know. So to be lost in that love, to float, to move, to swing, to dance in that love of God, in that divine love, coming to this realization. Where soul is not speaking anything, just lost, no questions, all questions disappeared. You know, many times this comes, this happens. Yesterday morning, I was doing morning meditation and it was quite early morning, maybe 2:15 in the morning. So I was just sitting in front of Baba and suddenly a vision came in front of me, and I saw different journeys that I have made in my life. It was a very beautiful stage, and I was feeling so light, and I found how I have traveled different, that I have covered different journeys. First, the journey of medical profession, right from beginning till now. Second, the journey of internal tapasya, journeying, deep journeying. I have spent hours together in the mountains of Mount Abu, sitting with Murli and trying to understand what God says. These mountains, these lakes, and all this allowed me or made me to enter into the depth of knowledge. Hours together, sometimes 6 hours, sometimes 8 hours together. I have sat all alone in the mountains. So that was the second journey I covered in last 10 years. I was thinking, okay, this was a journey that led to the understanding of this knowledge, which I covered. The third journey was the journey of purity, chastity. The fourth journey was the journey of spiritual classes, giving spiritual classes. That itself was a journey. That itself is a journey. Sometimes I have prepared, sometimes I have spoken without preparation. Sometimes to different group of people. Sometimes in a single day. In the morning, audience is different. Afternoon, audience is different. Night, audience is different. Sometimes they are in Gyan from 50 years, 30 years. And the afternoon audience, newcomers. And then conference. So I was just wondering, this is also a journey that I have undertaken. And what was my experience? How much soul conscious I was during these classes. Another journey was the journey of food. Journey of food. That is also a journey. How with little one can survive. And sometimes how with too much also one is all the time hungry. Insatiable hunger. The type of food. I was just wondering this journey which I have undertaken. Then the journey of language, switching language. And understanding the depth of language. That's also a journey. Then the journey of bodily karmic account, diseases. You can just, in the morning you can see there is a screen and these are the journey that I have undertaken. How my body was from last 10 years, 20 years. How many times I have fallen sick. What were the causes? Was it my mistake every time? Or it was something which I could not avoid? What it was? How weak my body was at one point of time. And how strong it became at another point of time. And what was the cause of that weakness? And now, how I am, how my body, and what was my stage of the mind when I was admitted, when I was not feeling well, and what was my stage of the mind when I was absolutely hale and hearty. That's also a journey we have undertaken. So this was a few things. But everyone's journey is personal. Somebody is married, so they can review their married life's journey. How was my married life? So everybody's journey is different. And the more you contemplate, the more you ponder and reflect on your own personal journey, you come to certain realization. Suddenly that detachment arises from the heart, in the heart. And you can see things as they are. You get disillusioned, coming out of that illusion where we labor all the time. So that's the journey everybody has to end. So this is a good experience, a good experiment to review the journey one has undertaken. Also, you can review your BK life's journey. This is the starting point and here I stand at present. What were the obstacles? The journey of relationship. How were my relationship with people? What bitterness, what sweetness, what quarrel, what conflicts that came in between. So that's also a journey. So journey of relationships, journey of hurdles, obstacles, journey of language, journey of food, journey of purity. To what extent my purity was undivided, untouched all the time. Or it was, the graph was up and down, sometimes waning, sometimes waxing. This waxing and waning of purity, going up and going down of purity, why? So these are the points of deep journey. So as I was saying, three things are must for realization. First, deep silence. You have to enter into that space where you are all alone and none else is there. The soul in the presence of the divine. The soundless sound. The chantless chant. Second, solitude. I must think, I am telling you about the gross solitude. To sit in a place where there is nobody, not even any sound of any human being except the beautiful sounds of nature, you don't hear anything. In those moments, deep realization comes. And third, introversion. Totally introverted personality. Go deep within yourselves and see where I stand, what I am doing, what I have to do, what is the goal. Where I am rushing towards. So realization is a deep process. And the more you go in silence, the more you achieve deeper levels of realization. In my own life, I have undergone different periods of silence. Sometimes 6 months, sometimes 15 days, sometimes a week, sometimes a month, where I was not doing anything except observing silence. Nothing means nothing. Mouth totally shut. And just thinking about life, goals of life. Even before coming in Gyan, those spirits of silence have helped me a lot. They save your energy. So take out moments of silence. Be in solitude. Go on the terrace. Seek nature. Be in the company of nature. The best place to churn is sitting in the lap of nature. River, mountains, streams. Go on the terrace. Go in the garden. Sit all alone. I'm not telling you to go and sit and do yoga. Yoga is a different thing. I'm telling you, knowledge, churning, understanding knowledge, imbibing knowledge, going into the depth of knowledge, like the diver who enters deep within. And trying to explore each and every line, each and every word God has spoken and why He spoke. To seek nature. Seek the company of nature. Be friends with nature. Sit all alone, in silence, in solitude, in introversion. And then realization comes. Realization is not the attempt, it is the result. Realization is not the effort, it is the result of something that happens within. To realize what? So we will discuss few things. The first thing to realize is our potential. What is my deeper potential? Whatever I am doing now is nothing. I am capable of doing something more. My potential is infinite, vast. Don't get self-complacent, self-satisfied. Okay, this is okay. No, my potential is vast. I can do much more than what I am doing at present. So widening the horizon of potential, one. Second realization is realization of one's own mistakes, blunders. The Himalayan blunders that I have committed. And what was the origin, what was the source of those mistakes of my life? I could have not done it, them, but still, probably I was unconscious. In yesterday's Sakar Murli Baba said, see how much punya and how much pap, how many charitable deeds and how many sins you have committed. See in the mirror and talk with yourself. Was I deceitful? Am I giving sorrow to somebody? Check yourself. Self-checking. Yesterday's whole Murli was on just one point, self-checking. Do I stay in yoga? What is my stage the whole day? Do I distribute this knowledge to others? Do I donate this knowledge or not? Ask yourself, whatever Baba is saying is right or what the world is saying is right. So there were different questions in yesterday's Murli. So the second realization is realization of one's mistakes, blunders, and accepting, yes, I have done it. This is because of my false understanding that this blunder has taken place. And I take the full responsibility of it. No one else is responsible whatever that is happening in my life. I am the center of my own universe. And whatever that is happening, I am alone, I am responsible for it. So I cannot put the blame on somebody's door, at somebody's door. No. This realization that this blunder, I have done it, I have committed this mistake, and I alone can change it. So that is the second realization. The third realization is that I am on the wrong path. This is not the right path. An elderly man enters the train and within 5 minutes he starts crying. And the train starts and he is crying. The lady who is sitting next to him, she thinks probably he is having separation, he is going away from his relatives, that's why he is crying. But it is afternoon, but the man is still crying. So she feels probably he is in sorrow. But how can she ask? She is a stranger. By evening, he is again crying. But she feels I should not interfere in his privacy. The next day, in the train, he is still crying. So she feels as if she should ask, but she hesitates. By afternoon, next day, he is still crying. By evening, he is still crying. And the third day in the train, he is still crying. Now it's intolerable. And she says, excuse me, can I know the reason for your crying? Why are you in so much pain? Is there somebody suffering in your family? Or do you have some physical problem? Why are you crying so much? So the man asks that lady, you know where this train is going? So she says, yes, to Chennai, south. He says, I wanted to go to Kashmir. And I realized that after entering the train, and that's why I'm crying. Then he kept on crying for 3 days. Is that me, sitting in the wrong train? Am I the person who is sitting in the wrong train? Rather than getting out at another station, he kept on continuing the journey and kept on crying. This is probably the journey of humankind. This is probably my journey. I know that this thing which is going on is wrong. And yet I am continuing and crying also. Get down at the next station. Catch another train. Come back. You are sitting in the wrong train. Am I sitting in the wrong train? This realization. That I am in the wrong train. This is not my cup of tea. Unnecessary. Why I am continuing this relationship? It is useless. It is against Srimad. It has got physical attractions. Elements of physical attraction. This is useless. I need to have all my relationships very pure. I am sitting in the wrong train. Get down at the next station, catch another train and come back and now begin the next journey. There is no shame in this. Rather than reaching the wrong station, crying for the 3 days. Am I that person sitting in that train? Just ask yourself. So third realization, that am I in the wrong train? Fourth realization, causes of failure. Why did I fail in relationship and service? What is the subtle cause? What is that subtle cause? Why this relationship is not, maybe that relationship may be with the worldly people or with God. Am I fulfilling this relationship with Baba? What is my experience of all relationships? Do I feel that He is my everything? He is my brother, He is my sister, He is my teacher, He is my preceptor. He is my boatman, He is my watchman, He is my bodyguard. He is my Valentine. Do I have the experience of all relationships with Him? What is the cause of failures in relationships? What are the causes rather? Churn on this. Go in silence. Go in solitude. Become introverted. And think. Journey of relationships. This is my journey of relationship with Baba. This is my journey of relationship with worldly people. My husband, my wife, my children, my parents, my friends, my colleagues, my boss, my seniors, my juniors, my companions. How is my relationship with these people? How much value I give to persons? Do I think things are more important than persons? There's one foreign sister, double foreigner sister, who was sharing her experience. She said that 30 years back, there was a junior sister in center, and the junior sister was given certain amount of money, which was the money which was collected from students of center for some service, and that junior sister lost that money. So this senior sister who was narrating the experience said, I in a way scolded her. But after some time the money was found. But that bitter talks with her created a crack in that relationship. That bitter exchange of feelings created a crack in that relationship. And she said, now it is 30 years. And we have been working together still. Still that crack is still there. It has not gone. So it is so subtle. 30 years working together, but that one bitter moment of exchange of words, that person has not forgotten. Even I cannot forget that I spoke. Later on she said, even I said sorry, but then that crack is still there. For sure. So causes of failure of relationships. Come to the deep realization. The next is hidden vices. Deep hidden vices. Many times we feel that we have got rid of anger. But is it really so? Or it is hidden somewhere within me? There was a sage who was living in a village. And many people used to come and talk with him and ask their questions and problems. So he was fed up with them. Every day same worldly problems, every day same worldly issues. So he used to get angry with them. Go away, I don't want to answer your questions. The same worldly problems. My son is sick, my son is alcoholic, my father is not well, and all those worldly issues. He said, I don't want. He used to get angry often. So he decided, let me go and stay all alone, aloof in some mountains. So he went there and started staying there all alone. There was no water there, so he has to come down the hill. There was a river to collect water. And he has a container. So he came down and he was enjoying peace there. No anger, nothing, nobody to disturb. No worldlings to come and pester him with worldly problems. So he came down, took the water, and as he was climbing, the vessel fell down. Again he came down, again took the water. Again he started climbing, again the vessel fell down. Again he took. Third time again the vessel, and suddenly he was angry. But he realizes there is nobody here now. So with whom I got angry? And he understood that the cause of anger were not those people. The anger is hidden within me. It has come out now. So coming to the realization that, first exploring, what are the hidden vices within me? Have I conquered lust totally? Or still I enjoy sensual fantasies? What about attachments? Do I feel that I am not attached? Or I am attached? And person gets attached to everything. If one starts using one pen for 3 days, he will get attached to the pen. The moment you see that pen in somebody's hand, the first question is, whose pen is? Why you took my pen? So our attachment is at that level. And we are thinking of becoming totally detached from the world, getting totally disconnected, that higher level of detachment. But if we consider, find out what are my subtle attachments. I'm attached to almost everything. I will come to this realization. So the journey of detachment, the journey of disinterest should begin at a very subtle, very smaller level. There was a Zen master. Once he enters the classroom and he finds that one of the students is sitting in his chair. Now this will infuriate anyone. A teacher comes and he finds that student is sitting in his chair. But he doesn't say anything. He just goes and sits among students. No anger, nothing. The student comes down and asks, Master, did you not get angry? He says, no. Because I want every one of you to take that seat one day. Look at the perspective entirely different. No anger, nothing. Have I got rid of anger to that level? A German philosopher comes to India and he is interested in meeting an Indian sadhu, Indian yogi. So he goes to his room, his hut, and outside he takes off his shoes, throws down, opens the door, and there is a voice, and he enters. And he says, I am a German philosopher, I have come all the way from Germany, and I want to know about Indian esoteric philosophies, mysterious mysteries, Eastern philosophy. The sage says, I can't give you any knowledge. He says, why? He says, first go and ask pardon to your shoes and to the door. And then come to me. Because you threw it. That was an act of violence. Why you opened the door with so much noise? First go and say sorry to that door. So the German goes, what is this absurd thing? They are non-living things. He says, I don't know, otherwise go away. So he goes back and says, oh, my shoes, I'm sorry. O door, I am sorry. And this philosopher has written in his autobiography, I felt such a peace after that. A tranquil feeling came to me. So that was also an act of violence. That was also an act of anger, to get irritable, to get upset, to sulk. These are all subtle forms of anger. So to come to the realization that I am still having so many things within me, and I want to clear all this clutter, the dirt, the murk, the impurity, the contamination, the adulteration, and reach that higher level of purity, that higher level of impeccable, stainless, spotless, untouched purity. So hidden vices. The next realization is the realization of GYDS, Gyan, Yog, Dharana, Seva. What is the level of my understanding of Gyan? What is my Yoga? What is my Dharanas? How many things I have imbibed? What is the level of my purity? And what Seva I am doing? Am I happy with this Seva? Is God happy with what Seva I am doing? Is this the only Seva that I can do, or there is something more I can do? This is the realization. The next realization is the faulty lifestyle. A lifestyle with multiple addictions. If that thing is not available, I am restless. If tea is not there, I am restless. That itself has become an addiction. If you don't get that thing, you feel restless. That means it is an addiction. And multiple things we are doing throughout the day, which are wrong, which are faulty. So coming to the realization that this is not the lifestyle. How I go to sleep? Is it before going to sleep, do I remember Baba? Do I read some Murlis? Or do I do some yoga? And with that, go to sleep. If not, that is a faulty lifestyle. Come to the realization that with this faulty lifestyle, I cannot have powerful Amrit Vela. If you are sleeping at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, if you are sleeping at late in the night, how can you have powerful Amrit Vela? I am not talking here, once you go back to your places. There. If there is a wrong method of sleeping, you cannot have good Amrit Vela. And not a good Amrit Vela means whole day you are lost. The foundation of the day is Amrit Vela. So you should have a very powerful Amrit Vela. And for that, one must sleep as early as possible. The way to do powerful Amrit Vela is not to get up early in the morning, but to sleep early at night. Keeping away from all the digital world. Otherwise you get lost. One click and you reach the kingdom of Ravan. One click and you go from the cottage of happiness to the cottage of sorrow. Checking lifestyle, checking daily routine and correcting it, coming to this realization. Then next is big decisions. Whenever you have to make a very powerful, very big decision of life, don't do it on a fly, hurriedly. Take time. Unhurried decisions. Very important decisions. Whether to continue job or to give it up. Whether to do full-time job or part-time job. Whether to be in the center or home. Whether to be in a Madhuban forever. These are important decisions of life. So whenever you have any important decision to take, don't take it hurriedly. Take time. And then come to proper decision, considering all pros and cons. Decisions. So you have to take decisions throughout the day. Whole day. The whole day depends upon decision. Whether I should go there or I should go here. There's a one brother who describes his story. In 1969, He came in Gyan just 1 or 2 years, and he decided, let me go to meet Baba. So he came to the railway station. One train was going to Mount Abu, another train was going to his Laukik family. And it was, I think, 15th or 14th January. So he decided, okay, let me first go to Laukik family, and from there I'll go and go to Mount Abu. So he sat in that train, and Baba became avyakta on 18th January. So he feels, oh no, I would have seen Brahma Baba if I had sat in that train. I would have reached here on 14th, 16th or 17th January. At least I would have seen him. But that moment, something happened and told him, okay, first go to Laukik, and then from there I will go to Mount. Something was missed. What we can do now, only to say drama. So, decisions. Another realization is forget, forgive and forgive and forget. Whatever that has happened in life, okay, fine. I don't have to carry it. You know, there is one sister here only, in the campus somewhere. She was said somebody by some soul. She was sitting at one place every day at the same place for Amrit Vela. One brother told her one day, please don't sit like this for 3 hours at one place, other people are there. And she felt so hurt. Now it is 7 years and she has still not forgotten that thing. And she has stopped going to the morning Amrit Vela. She does it in her room only. Why? Because just that one soul told, in little rude manner, please don't sit like this for 3 hours at one place, near Shantistam, like that. It was her rule, or rather, something she had made up in life, that from 2 o'clock till 5 o'clock, she used to sit at one place. Very powerful yogi. But now, she is in depression. You don't have to hold on things. Give up and forget. Go ahead. There are so many things in life. Such a small thing. And you become a victim. Self-victimization. So forgive and forget. Another realization is a sense of gratitude. Express a sense of gratitude to Baba. Thank you for everything that you have given me. Rather than opening the box of your complaints. This is not good, that is not good, room is not good. Water is cold. Weather is too cold. Please Baba, do something. Sitting all the time with complaints. You are given one room. A foreigner come, he is given one room. After some time he is told, oh, change the room, go to another. He is unhappy. After some time, again change the room. He is still more happy. After some time, now go down. He is gone, totally depressed. These are small things. Whether you stay here or there or that, it's okay. People get very unhappy. They are sitting in the diamond hall. Somebody comes and says, oh, get up, this is my seat. He is angry. Goes in, sits in another chair. Another person comes and says, this is my chair, get out. He gets out. Another, they say, you go back, these are for only for Madhuvan residents. He is still unhappy. All the more unhappy. And all happiness gone. These are small things of life. Our happiness doesn't depend on these small things. So have the sense of gratitude, Baba, you have given me too much. I am very happy for it, whatever you have given me. I don't need anybody, anything. Whatever I have, I am happy. There was an old man and his son, after the marriage of the son told, don't stay here, I will take you to the old house. Old age home. So the old man was okay. So as that old man was there and the son left, as he was about to enter that room, the receptionist was taking him. The old man said, oh, what a beautiful room. But the receptionist said, you did not even see the room now. You are at the door. He said, I have already prepared my mind that the room is very good. Now it has to be good. Because at the inside only I have prepared myself that it's a very good room. So it has become good. So that is what it is. So coming to this realization, to this sense of gratitude, thank you to Baba. And one more last, acceptance. I accept everything, whatever that has happened in my life, as true, and I am happy with it. I accept the drama. I accept the divine planning of drama. I have no complaints about it. So every day deepen the power of realization. Okay? Om Shanti. We'll sit in yoga. In this yoga, as I said, see all the journeys that you have covered in your life. Journey of language, journey of relationship, journey of food, journey of karmic account, journey of tapasya, journey of travel, journey of married life, journey of BK life, whatever. Om Shanti.